I fear not the dark itself, but what may lurk within it. Welcome to Lurk, bringing you creepy, strange, and bone-chilling stories, with your host, Jamie Jackson.
Welcome to this week's episode. Before we get started, I just wanted to give you an update on upcoming events that Lurk will be set up as a vendor. On June 8th, we will be at the 3rd annual Withville, Virginia UFO Festival, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., which is located at the Withville Meeting Rooms, located at 333 Community Boulevard. How many times can I say located in one sentence? Then, the following Saturday, June 15th, we will be at the 2nd annual Sasquatch Saturday at Piney Run Park in Sykesville, Maryland. Links for both of those events can be found in the show notes. So, this time of year, April, the weather's getting warmer, summer's coming, it's Memorial Day in another month, roughly, a little bit more than a month, and everybody's starting to think about vacation and relaxing, possibly somewhere like a lake, where you can go boating, fishing, and swimming. Just a nice, relaxing time by the water. But where we're headed, to Georgia and Lake Lanier, it's not quite so relaxing. That's because Lake Lanier is haunted, possibly cursed, and has a cryptid. Which, of course, if you're like me, that makes it number one on your places you might want to go on vacation list. Lake Lanier is located in the northern area of Georgia. It's a reservoir created by the completion of the Buford Dam on the Chattahoochee River in 1956. Supposedly, it gets hotter than a hoochie-coochie there. If you know, you know. I'm not going to explain that. It's also fed by the Chestatee River. Lake Lanier's 38,000 acres, or 59 square miles, which is about 150 square kilometers, of water. There is 692 miles, or 1,114 kilometers, of shoreline. It was built and operated for flood control, mainly for the Atlanta area, and also provided a water supply. The creation of the lake destroyed more than 50,000 acres of farmland, displaced more than 250 families, 15 businesses, and relocated 20 cemeteries. Today, it is patrolled by the Georgia Department of Natural Resources and local law enforcement. Georgia, Alabama, and Florida all have rights to the water supply. 10 million people visit Lake Lanier annually, and it has over 90 state and county parks spread around the shoreline. 23 of those parks provide swimming beaches. There are also dozens of beaches on the 160 Lake Lanier islands. Those islands were formed when the area was flooded and the tops of hills were not submerged. It holds 625 billion gallons of water, which is enough to fill 950,000 Olympic-sized swimming pools. While all the info on the lake is important, it's the history of the land it was built on that is the most important. It was once the home of the Cherokee, who were forced from their land in the 1830s and marched to Oklahoma to a reservation in an event known as the Trail of Tears. Then another tragedy in a small town called Oscarville in September of 1912 occurred. The town of Oscarville was a predominantly black community, and in September 1912, things changed. On September 5th, a 22-year-old woman claimed a black man broke into her house and raped her while her husband was away. Five men were arrested and taken to jail, and a local reverend went to the jail to support them. Those men, by the way, were all black. The Reverend was beaten and nearly hung, and it all culminated in the National Guard showing up and dispersing the crowd. A few days later, on September 8th, an 18-year-old white girl went missing while on her way to visit her aunt. May Crow left her house late Sunday afternoon to walk the 2 miles to her aunt's house. Her aunt was expecting her, and when May didn't arrive, her aunt sounded the alarm. May Crow was found the next day about a mile from her home. She was unconscious, having been badly beaten, her throat cut, and she had been sexually assaulted. She was taken to her home, where she ended up dying from her injuries. 4 black men were arrested for the crime: Ernest Knox, Robert Edwards, Ed Collins, and Oscar Daniel. Robert Edwards was beaten with crowbars, dragged behind a wagon, and then hoisted on a telegraph pole where people took turns shooting into his body. Prior to the trial, Ernest Knox confessed after a mock lynching, which is where they take a noose, put it around your neck, and tell you that you're going to hang if you don't confess. Knox and Daniels are found guilty and are sentenced to be hanged in a private hanging. But the townspeople tear down the 15-foot-tall privacy fence that had been erected around the gallows. Thousands of people watched the execution. Black families fled the area, which is still today a predominantly white county. Because of all this, people say the area is cursed. Pretty good reason for something to be cursed, in my opinion. To make matters worse, the dam project gets the go-ahead, and 700 families sold their land for pennies on the dollar. Many regretted selling because the money they were given was ridiculous, and many of the farms were in the family for generations, and you really can't put a price tag on that. Oh, and the cemeteries that I mentioned that were moved, some of those graves were not relocated. You have unmarked graves that were left, like graves from pre-colonial, colonial time, Civil War time, and Native American graves. In fact, there is a Native American mound under the lake called the Sumerauer Mound. The mound was discovered and excavated in 1951-54 by Joseph Caldwell in association with a Smithsonian Institution river survey that was done prior to the flooding of the valley. Nearby were remains of a village and sites associated with later historic Cherokee people and early prehistoric scatter site. Along with the unmarked graves and the Native American mound, some families just refuse to allow their family's graves to be moved. So they're under the lake. So before we get any further, let me point out that right now, y'all living down there, Georgia, Florida, Alabama, you're drinking and recreating in corpse water. Since the creation of Lake Lanier, nearly 700 people have died there, many of which are strange, unexplained, and unsolved. About 200 of those deaths have occurred since 1994. That's about 3 times the amount of deaths of other comparable lakes in the area. And of those deaths, at least 27 bodies were never recovered, that we know of. There have been dozens of collisions, the drownings of swimmers who disappeared after jumping in, and the drivers who drove their vehicles into the lake. Lake Lanier has seen more than 500 boating accidents, including some mysterious instances of boats going up in flames. It's said to be the most dangerous underwater surface in the United States. In droughts, the unpredictable lake floor becomes exposed, and ferry boats, cars, bodies, and debris of all kinds get closer to the boats and swimmers at the surface. And the chaotic lake floor makes dredging the lake for missing bodies that much more difficult. The water depths are also unpredictable. 1 second, you're shoulder deep, and 1 step forward brings you to a 30-foot drop-off. In checking newspapers in that area, there were many incidences reported. 11-year-old Kyle Glover, the stepson of R&B singer Usher, died from injuries he suffered when a jet ski collided with his inner tube. One paper reported the following: Officials with the Georgia Department of Natural Resources shared with local outlets Thursday that they had received word of a man being shot near Lanier Beach South Road. The man, who has not been identified, had jumped off the dock into the notorious lake in Forsyth County and was immediately shocked, WSB-TV reports. Emergency personnel rushed the man to the Northside Forsyth Hospital, but he later died there. Authorities currently don't know how the water wound up being electrified and are investigating the incident. Nothing better than going to the beach, jumping in, and getting killed because you were shot to death. How does that even happen? In 1968, a man said his female companion fell into the lake while they were standing on a dock. The man ran for help but had a seizure and woke up in the hospital. It said homicide was investigating. I would hope so, because the man's story seems a little hinky to me. In 1981, a man was killed and thrown into the lake. Another died from boat propeller injuries. In 1977, a man went out boating in July, and his boat was found running in circles by itself. The man's body was found in September. In 1997, another homicide victim's body was found. Dorian Henson, a pro basketball player, drowned when he jumped off the deck of a rented pontoon. In May of 1965, a poultry truck driver was killed when his truck smashed through the guardrail and dove 75 feet into the lake. The truck was located in 40 to 50 feet of water, but the body of the truck driver wasn't there. The body of a woman was found in the lake. She had been stabbed to death. In 1998, a 14-year-old scuba diver drowned. In 1956, a car plunged into the lake. One body was found, and they were searching for another. The father of the woman believed foul play was involved. And one of the most well-known accounts of a vehicle accident and death happened in 1958, when two friends were headed home. Delia Parker Young and Susie Roberts stopped and got gas without paying and sped off. They ended up driving off the bridge. Sometime later, the body of a woman in a blue dress was found floating in the lake, missing its hands and toes, most likely eaten by the catfish. Did I mention there are catfish in the lake that are the size of cars? No? Well, there are. Anyway, the body went unidentified, though many people believed it to be Delia Parker Young. Then, November 1990, workers dredging the lake bottom in preparation for installing a new piling for a bridge discovered a car. The car was mangled by the construction equipment, but they pulled it from the water. It was a light blue 1954 Ford with 1958 tags, and the tires were still inflated. The ignition and radio were turned to the on position. As they were cleaning the mud from the interior of the car, they found skeletonized human remains along with a nylon slip, a red sweater, a woman's purse, a couple of watches, a ring, and a pair of sunglasses. The body was identified as Susie Roberts, making the body found floating in 1959 that of Delia. And that brings us to the first and most famous ghost story of Lake Lanier. The Lady of the Lake. Since the time of the discovery of the first body in 1959, people have seen a woman wearing a blue dress wandering the area near the bridge. The ghost has no hands and is said to snatch unsuspecting lakegoers and drag them to the bottom. How does she do that with any hands? Other people say that she's sad-looking and wanders the area near where the accident occurred, looking lost and seeming to be searching for something. No one knows what exactly she's searching for. Maybe her friend Susie, or, I don't know, maybe her hands. Speaking of a ghost dragging you under, reports of swimmers feeling an underwater hand grab around their leg is common. Some also felt as though they were being pulled under the water, And that's a big old nope from me. There's no way I would swim in this water. There's no way. Boats are said to inexplicably go off course and collide with other boats, resulting in injuries and sometimes death. The spirits of people who were displaced by the building of the lake are said to roam the woods and shoreline surrounding it. There's the ghost of a young boy who walks the shore of the lake. People hear his cries echoing across the water. He's thought to be one of the lake's many drowning victims. One night, there were two men out on a boat doing some night fishing when they saw the figure of a guy on a raft using a staff or long oar to pull the raft through the water. When the figure saw their boat, it jumped from the raft and began swimming toward them. Then suddenly, the man and raft all disappeared. Several people have made reports of seeing the phantom rafter using his staff to move his vessel through the water, even though the water depths vary significantly from just a few feet to over 100. Some people have heard strange noises coming from under the water. One noise is said to be the chiming of a church bell ringing out the hour from beneath the murky depths. Longtime diver Buck Buchanan told local media in 2017 that he sometimes felt body parts in the lake. He said, "You reach out into the dark and you feel an arm or leg, and it doesn't move. Remember, y'all are drinking corpse water. Swimming and boating in corpse water. I mean, that's just gross. Not really, I can relate. Bodies have been found in the Rappahannock River. There was a year that, as a child, I was afraid that if I went fishing, I was going to pull up a dead body. Okay. I'll come clean. I was not afraid. I kind of wanted to pull up a dead body because I was a very strange child. I'm still very strange. Nothing has changed. Lake Lanier also has its own cryptid, and he's called Fishhead. The story is that there was a teenage girl who was pregnant with her first child, and she was out walking along the shore of the lake. While she was out walking, she saw a large catfish chasing prey near the shore, and the catfish broke the surface of the water and frightened her. She was so frightened by it that when the baby was born, he was born with the features of a catfish. His eyes were small and beady, his mouth was nothing more than a slit and lipless, he never grew hair, and his skin was pale and gray, and his feet and fingers were webbed, and he became known as Fishhead. He was, of course, ridiculed and mocked, so he retreated to the woods around the lake where the animals there accepted him. He made a home in the woods. Of course, there was a group who wanted to try and capture him, so they set out in their wooden boat to find him. They heard a splash as they neared Fishhead's home, but thought nothing of it. A few minutes later, they were gone. All that was left of them was their boat with claw marks on the side, as if some animal had grabbed the side and capsized the boat. I don't know about you, but this is one place I would definitely not want to go to recreate. Maybe to ghost hunt. Okay, definitely to ghost hunt. Not to relax. That's going to do it for this episode. You can find Lurk wherever it is that you find your other favorite podcasts, or at lurkpodcast.com, where you can find all of our episodes, along with links to our social media accounts. If you like what you hear, tell a friend, and consider giving us a 5-star review. And until next time, keep lurking.